listen.
Get nerdy with me.
Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Reef? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG. Cause I know what them elf girls need. From WoW to ME. I'm going 30 hours online straight now. You make it hard to leave.
Been to Middle Earth, do you speak my language? Your elf ears don't need explaining. All I really need for you to do is just please
talk nerdy to me. Talk nerdy to me. Talk nerdy to me. Get nerdy with me.
I'll do that. Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for being here. This is an awesome con, and everybody's been so friendly, and I heard so many great stories, except for this one woman. Okay, I don't know. Are these women here? Okay, they came in line for their friend who couldn't come meet me because her husband was treasure hunting. And I was like, is that a real thing? Here, but I just thought that was the weirdest thing, and I'm always going to remember that incident, and I feel sorry for this poor woman who's digging for treasure unless she finds it. Right. And then maybe she'll come meet me later in, like, furs and, I don't know, a rolls. Who knows? Hi, how's everybody doing today? Awesome. Well, I don't have a moderator or anything, so I'm just going to take your questions because I'm just going to, and this is a really nice, so I'm just going to do it like this. A sweet ride, you guys. It's a chaise lounge. A chaise lounge. Le chaise lounge. That's the worst French accent you've ever heard. And also, my socks don't match my shirt. Okay, here's a true story, though. Here. I had a pink shirt on today, and I was really happy because I finally fit in my pre-pregnancy clothes because I had a small child. Thank you. I have a minion, and it was this color, but it was a silk shirt, and I was so excited to wear it, and I did it, I put it on, and then the baby needed to eat, and I fed her, and then I realized that she's a messy eater, and I had all sorts of things on my shirt that I didn't want to be able to see, and yet the silk showed every single spot, so meat people need to wear silk, I need to wear, you know, Forever 21 nylon. That's my kind of style. So I'm sorry that, let's try to, oh, forget it. Anyway, so there's three people in the audience who have question people. There's one, I don't have my glasses on, so you might have to yell at me. That dude, and middle person, and there's another right person, bright red shirt, blue shirt, some other shirt. There's a third person, maybe, rumor has it. So I'm just going to keep going back and forth and, you know, just yell at me if I can't see you. I can't see anything. And also, I'm being blinded. That's my excuse for not wearing my glasses. Anyway, first question.
It's actually a Dr. Horrible shirt.
I like that question.
Yeah, but actually, so first, I have my wife's permission to say this, but you're my all-time celebrity crush, actually, so super excited to meet you. My question is, why didn't your character wind up with Zabu's character at the end of the guild? I was sort of looking forward to that, and it never quite came up to be.
Okay, first of all, I thought it was a Dr. Horrible question, but, and then
Horrible
I like your wife.
I have a Dr. Horrible shirt.
Oh, you had your Dr. Horrible shirt. Okay, I can't see that. And then I like your wife. I'm your celebrity crush, or I'm her celebrity crush?
You're my celebrity crush.
Okay, that's better than, somebody told me I was in their top five, and I'm like, I guess that's okay. And then I got awkward. I was like, what? Wait, oh. And then I was like, who is in my top five now? Because you have to kind of reevaluate every couple years, right?
Sure.
Like, I think Angelina Jolie was on the list before, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm kind of over her. Not that she's not a lovely person, but I think Eva Green's on that list now.
Yeah,
don't you think? Right? And Ryan Gosling is like, he's grandfathered in, okay? True story. I saw him at a pancake house in Los Angeles, and I didn't know it was Ryan Gosling. And I went up to him and was like, hey, were we in acting class together? And he was like, nope. That's a good story. Okay. Back to your question. I deliberately didn't get them together at the end because, you know, I felt like I love the fact that you don't have to necessarily get a guy and a girl together romantically, even if there's tension. I really do believe that because I think reinforcing that men and women can be friends versus always have to have something romantic between them is important in this world. I actually think that that's one of the things that we should work on as a society, making sure that even little boys and little girls know that they can play with people of the opposite gender, because I think that kind of integration helps as you go through life. It would just probably just simplify a lot of things as we go forward. So that was one of the reasons, although, you know, it's one of those things where maybe in 10 years that might, you know, be a situation, because one of my best friends, she was friends with a guy in high school. They were just platonic friends, and then 15 years later, they got married. So, you know, you never know in this world, but I really like that idea of them just being friends and kind of coming to the terms of like, okay, we kissed and it was freaking awful. That was an awful kiss when I wrote it in. I was like, it has to be the worst kiss ever. And I looked at Sandeep and I was like, it's going to be a terrible kiss because I never wanted to kiss you ever. And he was like, mutual. So there was no acting in that awkward kiss. Like, it was just like kissing your brother. And it was really funny. Anyway, and the same thing with Will Wheaton. Like, that was a, there was more, you know, between the two characters, there was more tension. But I, it was like kissing my older brother. It was awkward. We were both like, ew. Anyway, next question, over here with the red shirt.
On the stage of Supernatural, on the set, it's kind of legendary for the pranks. What pranks have they played on you?
Okay, I have to say that I didn't even understand the legendary of the prankness because Jared and Jensen were the best, like they were the most gentlemanly gentlemen to me over the years. So, and then I was, one of the last episodes I did, I met Misha. And he was, I was on set with them and I was like, holy moly, dude, you are not happy. You should not be happy right now. They are so pranking you. It was so funny. Like, I think there was like, they give him a wedgie, like off camera. And then there was one scene we were trying to, and it like, Jared came in with a wet willy and it's just like, and I'm trying to like act and he's trying to act. And then, especially when they're off camera, like he's like going like, and it's like, he's supposed to be really serious and like almost crying. I'm like, how do you do this? He's like, I don't know. So for the record, they never pranked me, although they did kind of like gently make fun of me when I was like a total dork, which I do well. So that was more of our dynamic than being pranked, because they are such gentlemen and just fantastic guys. I encourage anybody, if you ever meet them, that that you do, because they really just are gentlemen. So thank you for that question. Mystery third piece. Oh, another blue shirt. Blue shirt lady. Are you a lady? I can't see. I'm sorry. I like you. Hi.
So besides the treasure hunter, what was your weirdest fan experience?
Ever? Oh, gosh. I mean, I wrote about this in my book a lot. There were some really strange experiences that people would have me write on their bodies and then they would tattoo over them, which to me, a tattoo is such, I've never had a tattoo, but I'm jealous of everyone I see with tattoos because obviously I have commitment issues and they don't. But I'm always like, one week I'm like, I'll get a butterfly. And I'm like, no, butterflies are stupid. Death to all butterflies. And then I'll go like, I want a ferret just because it's funny. I'm like, you want a joke tattoo? That's a terrible idea. I want a fox because he's my totem animal. And I'm like, totem animals are stupid. What are you doing? Although I think I was reincarnated as a prey animal versus a predator, just as a personality. I don't like it, but I just want to be honest about it. So the only tattoo I would probably get would be my daughter's name. But then I've got several people who got tattoos of my signature on them. And, like, I am honored, but I'm so nervous when I do it. I'm like, you need to do a beautiful, you know, swoop and more, swoop. And then I'm like, I'm terrified. It's the most terrifying thing I do at cons. And thank goodness it's only happened, like, 3 or 4 times. And what if they didn't like it? And then I always am like, well, if I draw it at this angle, if they want a backup, they can just paint over it and make it a heart. So I give them a little out, you know, if they get tired of me. They can spell my name wrong. No, I scrawl it. It's not a real signature. I mean, it's my dad is a doctor. I learned well how not to sign things. Next question.
Hello.
Hi, and your puppy. Who's your puppy's name?
This is Leia.
Leia, hi.
She's a famous dog.
She has buns like Princess Leia. It's great.
I'm actually asking what you suggest for someone who wants to go into acting, specifically someone who might have a disability.
That's a really good question. You know, acting is a really fun profession when you act, but then between the times when you don't have a job, it's horrible. So I guess my best advice would be to make sure you love it as a profession and as a business versus just as a hobby. Because if you love just doing acting, I would recommend you just stay wherever you live and just do community theater or do shows or local things just as a hobby. Because making what you love into a business sometimes makes you lose your love of it. And so just really evaluate honestly, like, do I love this as a lifestyle or do I really want to make this my career and know that most of my time will not be acting, it'll be trying to get work. So that would be my first step. And then my second step would be make sure you get really experienced and do something locally before you move to a big city. Because, yes, there's a lot more work in, like, Atlanta and L.A. and New York, but it's very competitive with people who've been doing it since they were children. So it's harder to break in. So getting more experience and tape on yourself before you move is probably my biggest advice. And just always don't just be an actor. Have different things you can draw from. Because even though my dad made me get a math degree when I was in college before I could move to LA to be an actress, I feel like doing things that were not acting related in college really helped me have things to draw upon and doing different characters as I went forward. Because, you know, like my favorite characters are a computer programmer and, you know, a character who plays the violin. And those skills don't have anything to do with being an actor. So that's what I would recommend to you. And as far as disabilities, you know, it is tougher, you know, it is there, you'll have fewer opportunities, but I think people are being a lot more progressive in casting now and being a little bit more open-minded and writing parts that are more diverse, so that hopefully your opportunities would be more now than they were in the past. So good luck. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, next question. Over here.
First of all, I wanted to say I first heard of you from The Guild, which was an amazing show.
Thank you very much. It's our 10th anniversary, you guys. Can you believe that? Yeah. I still don't believe that 10 years has passed since I shot in my room, in my garage. I mean, it's crazy.
Ben, let me call you
definitely.
Back.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the creation process. That was the first show that I watched that had a really geek pulse to it. So how did you create it?
I mean, it was really interesting, the whole process, and I wrote a lot about this. There's a big section in my book where I wrote about it, because I'd never been a filmmaker. I was always been an actor, but I was really frustrated with my life because, like I just told you, like acting, you don't necessarily get the parts you want. You get the parts you look like, and you get told that you are a certain way when you don't feel like that inside, and you kind of have to conform to what other people see at you as, and you don't work that much, necessarily. You know, it's very up and down career. So I got very frustrated, and I decided to write something to make work for myself, and I really thought it would be a TV show. But I forced myself to quit WoW because I was playing that 12 hours a day. Yay! It's a pretty good game, you guys. And but I had to stop. And then I had a small support group of women that I joined, this women's support group, which sounds dorky. But we met every week and kind of shared the things that we were working on and our victories and our sort of failures. And it really helped me get off my butt and get that script written. And from that, my friend Kim Evie, who was part of that group, encouraged me to make it as a web series because at the time, YouTube was just starting, and she was like, this seems like something, you know, gamers are online, so it seems like they might like this. And that's, it literally just happened then, and yeah, we had to invent a lot of things as we went along, and there really weren't any web series out there at the time. And the one thing that kept us going through all the tough times, because we shot in our house for 6 years, you know, it was always homegrown, was the fact that I really felt that we were touching people's lives in a way, even if we're just making a comedy, that people, it meant something to people. And that, therefore, gave me validation and made me want to make it even more. So actually, I owe it to all of you guys that I'm here and I kept going with the show because meeting people, especially at conventions, made me look at a hard problem and overcome it versus like get discouraged because I knew you guys were out there to watch the show. So thank you very much. Middle question.
Hi, so I had no idea you were going to be here.
What, like, were you just sitting for another prep panel?
I never look at the website because I'm lazy. So I saw you earlier and I was like, oh my god, this is going to be the best weekend ever.
Hey. Okay, I like you, but you might need to plan ahead a little bit more.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
The first one is, what was your favorite scene to record for the Guild? My second one is, how on earth did you quit WoW? Because I can't quit it. And like, how?
Ooh, those are good questions. Okay, my favorite scenes for the Guild were the scenes where we were all in person together. And I think there's one in like season one where we're at the booth at Cheesy Beards and we're just meeting each other. That I think would be my favorite. Because when we sat down all together and shot together, I felt like, oh, there's something special here. We're really getting along really well. And I guess the other one, my favorite just inside in season five that we did a whole season at a convention and there were a lot of steampunk scenes with steampunk and Jug Jones and my friend Marissa Tancherone, who is a showrunner for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She wrote Dr. Horrible, one of the writers on that, and Jillian Armanante, a friend of mine, and Clara. So they had all the steampunk like storyline that they did, and that's my favorite because I just love the aesthetic of steampunk, and they were really snooty, and they looked down upon her, which, you know, not all steampunk people do, but I just imagine would be funny. They had their booth in the middle of the convention, but they wouldn't let anybody in it. It was really funny. So those were my favorite ones. And as far as quitting WoW, you know, I think people look at video game addiction, they're like, oh, video games are terrible, and online games are terrible. And I don't believe that at all, and I never wanted that to be represented. I wanted to represent gaming the way that it meant to me, which was it enriched my life, it made me connect with people that meant a lot to me in my life. And Codex's struggle with that ultimately led to her getting out of her funk and meeting because she met her friends in real life from online. And I just, that was kind of the message of the Guild I wanted to convey. So, you know, if you can't stop playing WoW, is it affecting your real life? Are there other things you'd rather be doing? And maybe you need to do a little bit of soul searching about like, well, what do I want to work on that's maybe more long-term, like learning German or become a writer or an opera singer? I don't know. Like, do all those things at once and call me. but, like, I think sometimes we look to immediate gratification to delay gratification. Do you know what I'm saying? It's easier to play WoW 2 hours than, like, maybe work on a drawing that you're going to be bad at, but in 5 years you'd be amazing and you might be, you know, like a professional artist or, like, a hobbyist. So I would just like challenge you to maybe find that one thing that you want to become good at eventually, and then you reward yourself with WoW if you do a little bit of it. So 1 hour for self-improvement, 5 hours for WoW. See? Question.
Hi.
Yo.
I know this is kind of a weird question, you might not know the answer, but who is the best singer on the Supernatural cast?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, Jensen is an amazing singer. So if you've ever heard him sing, right? You've heard him, right? I've never heard Jared try to sing. I've never heard Misha try to sing. Mark Shepherd. I've never heard any of the other guys. So I can't say. I know Mark Shepherd is an amazing drummer. And so they play a lot at the Supernatural conventions. They have that Saturday night kind of band thing. So I would say Jensen's probably, because he's just extraordinary. And me. I would say I'm a pretty good singer. I mean, Jensen's better, but I do sing. I do sing. I sing on the new Mystery Science Theater. Did anyone see that song? I do a duet with Neil Patrick Harris, so it's like a little Dr. Horrible reunion. So if you have Netflix, check it out, episode 4. It's really funny, too. Anyway, thank you for your question. Okay, right-hand person. Yeah, you.
Hi, Felicia. My name is Shannon.
Hi.
The
Guild is my favorite thing ever. But
thank
I'm really
you.
Happy that you brought Mystery Science Theater back. So what's your favorite awful movie?
Okay. First of all, I didn't bring it back personally, although being involved in it, and it's another, guys, conventions are literally my favorite thing because they form so much of my life. I was at Salt Lake City, Utah at a convention. Yeah, and it was a really, it's a great convention, and I was in the green room, and I saw Joel Hodgson back there in the green room, and I got so, like, I don't get starstruck by many people. Like, Chris Evans was in, and I was like, oh, it's Chris Evans. I was not, I mean, he was pretty hot, but anyway. But I was like, oh, but I saw Joel Hodgson, and I was like, oh, because Mystery Science Theater meant so much to me and my brother as kids. So I, and my brother's a super fan, like, super, super fan. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go take a selfie and rub it in my brother's face. Like, I wasn't trying to be nice. I was just being a dick. I was being not a good person. Anyway, so I went over to get a selfie with him, and then we had to talk, and he was like, oh, yeah, I've heard about your show. And cut to a month later, he was like, hey, you want to be in Mystery Science Theater, the reboot? I was like, oh, what? Just like that, guys. It was beautiful. What? No, it was in an email, and I did that to the screen. Anyway. It means a lot to me, and I got to write on this season too, and you know I love writing and acting. I just don't want to ever do one of each, you know, only one. And so the fact I got to write on the show, even though I had to watch Cry Wilderness 10 or 15 times, which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, episode 2 this season, you know, terrible. It was such a great dream come true. And my worst, the worst movie I've ever seen is called The Wraith, and it has Charlie Sheen in it. Has anyone seen this movie? Yeah. We got some nods. That movie is butt. It is so bad. Charlie Sheen plays an aggressive car alien man who, like, it's kind of like, it just is so absurd, and there's a gratuitous nude scene, and it's like, why is she naked? Okay, it's a waterfall. That's natural. It's terrible, and it's really actually traumatic because of the kind of male-female dynamic there. He's, like, abusing his... It's, like, terrible, but such a bad film. I keep pushing it on Joel, so I'm, like, praying one day he gets to it, if we ever get to it. So it's repugnant. It's a terrible, terrible movie if you want to watch it. Anyway. Next question. Middle person. Middle? Anyway? Yeah, all the way up there. Still don't know if you're a man or a woman. I can't see you. You're a blob. It's not personal. Like, you're a human blob.
We'll talk behind the stage.
Okay. I'm a boy. Hey, Miss Felicia. Congrats on your baby.
And thank you.
I love Dr. Horrible singing.
Thank you very much.
What was your most memorable part about filming part 3 in that?
Oh, part 3. Okay, that's really interesting. Part 3 was trying not to breathe when I was being carried out. Or blink my eyes when I was dead. It's really hard to be dead, you guys. Just, I challenge you, okay, have a friend take an iPhone and be like, okay, I'm going to pretend to play dead. And have them see if your eyes don't twitch or not. They will twitch. They are, it's very, I mean, I'm a twitchy person. I'm a twitchy lady. Like, I'm twitching. So, that was really challenging for me. I mean, I think my favorite thing during that whole filming was, I think it was in episode 2, the laundry scene. Was that episode 2, I think? And so the laundry scene, it's a great, you know, awesome scene where we're all singing together. Oh, no, it was a scene where Neil Patrick Harris is in episode 1, and he's singing about me, but he's not talked to me yet. And there's a whole sequence where everyone's closing the dryer together in sequence. There was one extra who literally could not do it right. In fact, he was telling Joss, no, that's not the way you should do it. And I'm like, what? So it just became like this crazy struggle to get everyone to close dryer doors. And I was like, this is show business. It was pretty fun. Anyway, next question over here. Blue shirt, blue bob.
That's right. Hi, thank you for being here with us. I know we all really appreciate it.
I can see you better. Like, I can see you now. I'm sorry. I love you.
I love you too.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you about your time on Eureka.
Yes.
But a lot of the times I think at the heart it's just about the relationships that are built between the characters that are really meaningful, and we watch people grow and change, and quick kind of sort of spoiler alert, just at the end of that we kind of in some ways literally like watch the town die and kind of fall apart. part there. So what was it like to be part of that thing and then have to walk away from it? And kind of what were the relationships like on that set?
I mean, it's always really sad when you end any participation in a show because unlike a movie where you know there's a beginning, middle, and end, you know, the show, normally you don't know when you're going to stop. And you create a family, and on the best ones, some of them you're like, get me off this set, these people are terrible. But most of the time, I'm very lucky to have been on sets that are kind of families, and that means a lot to me. I don't want to just ever say that this is my job. I want to say it's my passion and that this is my family. And that's in anything I do. And so that particular family was an amazing one, and I love Colin and Sally and Neil and Will Wheaton when he was on all the episodes with us, and it just became, I think I was on a season, almost two seasons for that show, and it was really sad because they picked it up and then they canceled it, so they had to like put six episodes into one to end the show, and I'm just grateful that they got an ending, but yeah, you're right, it was kind of rushed to the point where it felt a little more down than it could, and I think that that was not the meaning. It was just to give everybody a lot of closure, and I really appreciate it when I hear people talk about that show because I think it was really smart. I think it had a lot of great characters who were scientists to represent to other people that science is cool, or it, every week it goes horribly wrong and you have to solve the problem. So either way, you know, get on that science, guys. Next question, right hand. Oh, okay, you're far back enough to your blob, yeah.
Hi. I was wondering what your favorite part about filming MST3K was.
Oh my gosh, my favorite part, well, I was so worried because I was pregnant at the time. I was 6 months pregnant. So I was worried, but then they made that great coat for me. Guys, you couldn't tell at all. It was amazing. So that was one of my favorite parts, good tailoring. And my other favorite part was just being on set with Joel. Like, if you are a fan of Mystery Science Theater, Joel's voice is kind of like in your brain. It's like, it's such a like, yeah, okay. He's very like laid back and very Minnesotian. And like being on set and having him come like, hey, Felicia, what's going on? I'd be like, he's in my brain. He's in real. That was the weird part because his voice really meant a lot to me as a kid, and having him be in real life was awesome. And just seeing the new cast gel, you know, it was big shoes to fill when you're like continuing a show that's so iconic for a lot of people. And Joel really took it to heart to really recreate the show in a way that was faithful to the old, but like really reinvented the new. And I think he did a really great job, and I'm just like knocking on leatherette that we get another season. Yeah. Anyway. Next question. Right hands out, or I forget. Okay, there we go. Hi.
Hiya. You're delightful, by the way. You're just a wonderful person.
Oh, thank you.
More Mystery Science Theater because it's great. You're working with one of the best comedians I think exists, Patton Oswalt.
I know. Have you been to one of his shows?
I'm not live, just seen recorded.
Yeah, I've seen him online. I haven't seen it been live. I guess I should probably ask him for a ticket or something.
Probably. Yeah.
I never pull strings. You know, even when a barista recognizes me, I never ask for a free coffee, even though I kind of want one inside.
Anyway, your question next time. Just what's some of the best things that have happened with Patton on set or in writing? Just what's it like?
Well, we didn't write together. We wrote remotely, but we did act together, and I was really intimidated because, as you said, he is one of the most brilliant, insightful people I've ever met. Like, just hilarious, and his book is amazing, and he's just a great person. And I was intimidated, but when I got on set with him, bam, we just hit it off. Like, sometimes you just hit it off with somebody, you're like, whoa. I like this guy. And we just started riffing, and we even did some improv, and like, you know, that's when you feel like work isn't work, when you're just having a lot of fun. And I think with him especially, it was one of the easiest like sort of transitions into kind of work to play that I've ever had. And yeah, I would recommend watching his stand-up specials if you could, because stand-up is really, it's really hard. You have to be really brave, but you also have to have a point of view that's really solid on life. And I really admire him. He's one of my favorites. So thank you. Next question over here. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to buy you coffee or a drink. Hi.
What's your favorite part of Supernatural?
My favorite part of Supernatural was my novelty T-shirts, because Charlie always had some great T-shirts, and I loved going to Vancouver because they have amazing sushi there. If you like sushi, take a vacation to Vancouver, and then I also just loved being on set with the guys because they showed me that they are such gentlemen, but they also are just kind people, and they treat the set like a family. Like sometimes actors don't talk as much to the crew who are on, you know, making the show happen. And they are friends with all the crew and everyone knows them, and they hang out with them, and everyone's equal on set, which I think is really important, because on a set, everybody's job is important. If you're the craft service person, you gotta feed people. If you're the grip, you have to like put a C-stand up and make sure it doesn't fall on someone's head. If you're the DP, you gotta make people look good. So everybody on a film set has a very important role, but sometimes everyone doesn't get treated equal, and that's what I love about Jared and Jensen, that everyone's an equal in their eyes, and I think that's awesome. Thank you, that's a good question. Next question, over here, am I right? Okay, good.
Hi, Felicia.
Hello.
Thank you. I have a question, and it is my duty as a guild master in World of Warcraft to ask this. Do you support legacy servers? Oh.
Am I going to get in trouble if I say one thing or the other? Because don't worry about it. I mean, I feel like I understand the two points. I just understand the two sides of the coin, you know? You know, so I have to say I support the fans.
Nice save.
I feel like I'm tiptoeing through a Destiel kind of situation here. Like, yes. Okay, I'll say yes. It's fine. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I think that the fans, here's the thing. Your avatar is you. Like, I feel so strongly about my character. Like, I haven't logged on in a couple of years, but if something happened to it, I'd cry. So, like, that is a projection of me. So, I understand why people would feel really, really strong about it. And so, whatever, you know, doesn't let that sense of identity go away, I think is important. So, don't quote me on it. Okay, next question. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you really played video games on the guild while you were recording.
That's a really good question. We didn't really play games because the actors had to remember their dialogue, so most often they had their dialogue taped up where the screen would be.
And I also have another question.
Okay.
So my mom is a teacher, and I really love your autobiography.
Thank you so much.
So I was wondering if you liked being homeschooled or if you didn't.
There's a lot of homeschool people here. Everybody raise your hand, anybody homeschooled? Yeah, I think Colorado has the most people I've ever met who homeschooled. I think it's really awesome. You know, having just had a baby, I think about that a lot. Like, was homeschooling good for me or was it bad for me? And I feel like, you know, I am the person I am because of the way I was raised, so I can't, and I don't look back on anything with regret anymore because every, you know, I know it's cheesy, but I actually used to regret everything I did, and I realized that if you spend your time regretting things, you can't look forward and kind of reinvent what you want going forward. And also, if I did anything different, I wouldn't have my baby. I wouldn't have that specific baby. So everything I've ever done in my life is adding up to the right thing. But, you know, as far as school goes, I love the fact that I was free to sort of explore what I loved, and if I found something I loved, I would just do that. I also love the fact that I grew up not thinking there were any differences between me and anybody else as far as, like, abilities in certain subjects that people sometimes discourage girls in. And I didn't ever think that science fiction or math or computer sciences was nerdy in a sense. So sometimes when you get labeled as different, you might not do that because your peers say it's weird and then you stop doing it even though you really love it. So I never had that kind of peer pressure and I really appreciate that. But I also want to expose her to as many things as possible because in school they can expose you to more things and you can figure out, you know, you might never stumble across geology, but that might be the thing that you love more than anything. So I would love to maybe, I think if you're in the right school, it's perfect. But if you are homeschooled, I think it's kind of a great opportunity to really specialize in the thing you love and find the thing you love and read a lot. Like, I used to read 20 hours, you know, like 2-3 books a week. So I guess I'm rambling, but I'm glad I was homeschooled because it made me weird, and I think weird is your superpower. So whatever makes you a little bit different. Thank you for your question. Next question. Yeah, middle person. Hi.
going off of what you were just saying, you mentioned a math degree. I have a degree in biology. What would you say as far as advice and encouragement on being role models in our fields and for girls interested in STEM?
That's a great question. You know, I think a lot of emphasis is placed upon girls, and I think it goes back to that comment I made earlier. I think it's really important, and I read this great article in the New York Times about how to raise feminist boys, and it's a really great article if you want to look it up, because I think it applies to both genders, because a lot of times it's a lot of stereotypes that are put upon, you know, children, they don't know anything. If you said, if we all started floating in space, my daughter would think, oh, people float. So you believe whatever is in front of you as a child, and you're literally forming their perception of life as they're growing up. And that's why it's so important, I think, what to expose them to and what thoughts and principles that you expose them to growing up, because that will be things that they carry through in life. And I think especially when you have something in that article said that, you know, as early as preschool, girls and boys start getting separated by gender, you know, girls on the right and boys on the left. And that simple act establishes in their minds that girls are different from boys. And I think it's unnecessary, because that's why I love geek culture, is because as men and women, we can come together and share a love of, you know, like, you know, Farscape or Mystery Science Theater or, you know, Fallout games. And we don't care all that stuff that we've been told to perceive about what the way somebody else looks compared to us, it goes out of our head because we're loving something together. And that really is, I think, the key to fostering, you know, interest in anything. So I think you're just showing up and representing and going and advocating to girls and boys in almost an agnostic way. I think it goes a long way, because you are a woman who is interested in biology, but talking to boys and girls about biology will show either sex that is a thing they could do. And I think that's why it's important in media to represent people of different races and different the opposite sex in traditional roles that we want to break into, so that people won't think, oh, scientists on TV are all men, or you know, all women are marketing people. You know, there's certain cliches you see on TV that don't need to be there, and just by being exposed to them as a possibility, you might interest somebody in that field. So anyway, I could go on and off about this, but I feel really passionately about it, because you shouldn't shame somebody. You should encourage them into it, and I think that's important. Anyway, thank you. Next question. Right hand side.
Get up on the right.
Yeah. Which right?
Up here.
You're right.
Yeah, you. Okay. Where?
We're over here. On the right.
Gender issues, and then you can't see anything. This is really getting boring.
Okay, so my question actually has kind of a spoiler for season 12 of Supernatural, so if you haven't watched it, plug your ears. But in the very last episode, they get into kind of like the parallel universes, and I know in another panel, Jared and Jensen had mentioned they would like to maybe bring characters back, so I was wondering if you would be open to bringing Charlie back.
I mean, yes, of course. I mean, it would be so fantastic to be a part of that family again. I mean, I feel like I'm always part of that family, which is great, and that's the kind of show I love to be on, that you have a fan family. But I would love to revisit Charlie. I think, you know, whatever the writers needed to do with the season, I totally, you know, that's what they needed to do, and I totally on board with that. And if they need to bring me back in a parallel universe, because she's a badass and she has stories yet to be told, I would love to do that. If they call me, I'll be there, man. Thank you. Oh my god, I was sweating so bad because I couldn't see you. I'm so sorry. I'm wearing my glasses next time. I don't care if I'm faint or not. Stop it, Felicia.
Left.
Next question. I can see you. See, I just can't see it. Anyway,
hi. We have two questions for
okay.
You. The first one is, of course, you're a very impactful actress and writer, and you played a very important LGBTQ character on a very famous show.
Yeah.
And Jared and Misha have nonprofits, so if you could start a nonprofit, what would it be for?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. You know, I guess
really cool. I mean, I love animals, and I think it's really important to help animals because they can't really help themselves. But now that I'm a mom, I would actually love to start kind of like organizations that encourage girls to find their passions. And especially, I don't know, I guess I was just talking about like gender roles. But I do think girls sometimes need encouragement in certain areas, like STEM. And it would be nice to be able to encourage that, or just with geek culture. I would love to be able to encourage girls who weren't exposed to things like that to be exposed to them. So especially like on the computer side, entrepreneurial things like that, I think it's really important. So, and then maybe some animals. Animals and entrepreneurship. Clearly I haven't thought this through, you guys. I'm sweating more. Next question. I see you. See, I see everything up to the back, okay? It was like a trick of the eye that I couldn't see. I didn't know there were people back there. I thought it was just a sea of awesomeness. Okay. Hi, back row. Okay. Hi.
So my question to you, since you're in Librarians, Supernatural, Eureka, is there any other sci-fi show you would like to get onto an episode of, like Doctor Who, Star Trek Discovery when it airs?
Yes! Okay, well, Doctor Who is a British show, and I'm not British, so that's like a long shot, guys. Let's just not even talk about it.
Hey, John Barrowman.
Whoa, you guys all need to be my agent. What's going on?
John Barrowman.
There are a couple of shows that I really love. I'd love to be on The Magicians, because I think that's a great show. Right? I love The Expanse. Actually, I think Sci-Fi's doing a lot better job lately, because I think they've got some really good shows on there. I would love... to be on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is not a genre show, but it's really fun. Let me think, what else? I mean, I'd love to be on Game of Thrones, but again, British show, so I'd just be a corpse. But I would love to be a corpse on Game of Thrones. I think that would be my... And Star Trek Discovery, like, come on. That trailer looks bonkers. I need to be on that show. I'm not quite in unitard shape right now after my baby, but I could get there, guys. Oh, I could get there. Daily cookie off, and my daily cupcake, and my daily, you know, tres leches, and whatever. Okay, we got a couple more. I got one more minute. We got one more question. Do I have to stop? I could talk all day. Okay, hi.
Hi. In the back on your right. Hi.
Hi.
So my question.
I see you.
I see you too.
It's also the glare. Listen, okay, anyway, let's not talk about it. I'll blog about it later.
Okay, so my question is about Dragon Age 2. I know that you had your own elf character in a DLC, and I wanted to know what that is even like. Like, how cool is it to get an elf character in a game and just see yourself as an elf running around? And how was
amazing.
That?
Was that awesome?
What?
It was amazing.
Did you get to interact with a lot of the other characters?
Yes, that was a really interesting process. So they approached me to do a short film, and of course I wrote a 6-episode part where I created Talis as a character, because she was my dream character. She's a rogue, she's an elf, she has kind of a chip on her shoulder, and so that was always a dream for me to be able to play that kind of character. And so they loved her, and I wrote this. I wrote the 6-episode web series on a very low budget, unfortunately, but I wrote that. And at the same time, they were writing the DLC, and I had to go to Vancouver to do motion capture to be Talis. So I didn't actually interact with any of the other actors. And I did when you do voice recording, you generally don't interact with the other actors on live. You just generally record your lines and they put them together later. So I didn't actually interact with any of the other actors, but it was so amazing to be a part of a franchise that I admire so much. I think the writing on that is some of the best writing in video games, and the whole process was really gratifying to be in something that was a web series and a DLC. I think nobody's even done that since, taking a character from a web series and put them into a DLC. So, you know, I love video games, and I loved being able to do artistic things in the world of video games, as well as enjoy them and play them all the time. Anyway, do I have to stop? It says 1:40. I can do another one? 2 minutes. Oh, 2 minutes. Okay, good. Hi. One more question. Two more?
Hi. My question is about Supernatural. Out of the whole Supernatural cast, who is your favorite person?
Why would you ask me that? If I had four children, I'd be like, what's your favorite show? Child?
rephrase that. Clearly, I need some chocolate. It's really hard, man. I mean, honestly, I've had so many good conversations with Jensen about just life, and then Jared is so funny. I've had so many jokes and, like, laughed with him so much. And Misha, I didn't get to interact with as much, so I guess he, you know, as a person, but I do love hanging out with him, you know, and we didn't get to act on screen as much, but just off camera. His passion and his gish-wishes and the good that he does, I'm going to figure out this charity thing, guys. I'm going to tweet this later because I would love to have a better answer than what I answered. But the fact that he really has set a bar of charity and fun and artistry all together, I think it's brilliant, and I love what he does. And Mark Shepard's just fun to hang out with all, because I guess I'm not going to spoil anything. But anyway, he's amazing. I've known him for like 10 years from like conventions, so I love all of them, and you cannot quote me any other way. Okay, I guess I have to ask one more question, because we have 12 seconds. No, did they cut him off? Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much. Oh, wait, you're waving. Okay.
Hi, if you could write a second season for Dr. Horrible, how might you write Penny into it?
Okay, I could be a robot, I could be a zombie, I could be my twin. A shape-shifting demon. Woo! I just made that one up. It's not a good one. That was a bad pitch. Anyway, thank you guys for coming. And
messing with a bad girl, she bad, she got my number, so hot, she hotter than Vegas, and knockers down the summer, hot class, under the covers, waking up, we so sticky, we stuck to one another, she gets what she wants, she takes what she needs, she all over me, she kinda mean, but ain't a problem to me, a little bit of hell, but she got me in heaven, she my bomb girl, I'm MKT007. Messing with the bad guy.